And as has been pointed out, and as we all know, these are difficult times that we're going through now. And I felt like that this passage of scripture from Ecclesiastes, the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, would be a good starting point for us today. So the subject today is It's Time. And I think that all of us need to realize how frail and how human and how limited we are. And we're on a clock. In fact, I just was reminded, I looked at the calendar a little bit earlier, and I noticed that in 6 days, I'm going to have a birthday, and I will turn 84. And that's the age my dad was when he passed away. So I'm on the clock, so it's time. And we're going to read these verses from Ecclesiastes. Andrew. Get the Thomases out of my way there. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Well, Andrew. My slide is not changing.
If you're in PowerPoint, if you click on the screen where your slide is and just hit the page down button or the down arrow, it should work.
Say that again, Robert.
Click your mouse on the screen where your slide is and then just either hit your down arrow or click page down. There you go.
Okay.
You got it going now.
Verse 13. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him, that that which is has been already, and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. And so it's time. And going back a few years, most of you, a lot of you know that I'm a sports fan. I enjoy watching baseball, basketball, football, and maybe some other sports as well. But I was reminded back in 2010, the baseball season, the slogan of the Texas Rangers was, "It's time." They had a theme song that year. The title of the theme song was, "It's Time." And that song rose to number 27 on the American Top 40 charts. And they had also a 2010 highlight video titled, "It's Time," the incredible season of the 2010 American League champion Texas Rangers. It gives you the history of the Texas Rangers baseball team and all the highlights of their 2010 race for the American League pennant. But today we want to think about something different as we've studied and read the scriptures from Ecclesiastes. Point number one, it's God's time. Verse 1 says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. That's, of course, reading from the New American Standard Bible. And so it's time. And Solomon was reminding us about the fact that we are on the clock, every one of us. And we need to understand that it's God's time we're concerned with. I remember quite a few years ago now, I had developed some cataracts, and I kept going to my ophthalmologist, and I wanted him to go ahead and do the cataract surgery. But he kept telling me they're not ready yet. And my wife and her two sisters had all had their cataract surgery done. And if I remember correctly, both of my brothers had already had their cataract surgery done. But finally, I went to the doctor, and he said, it's time. And so, children don't like to hear the word, it's time. Mom or dad may say, it's time to take out the garbage. It's time to do your chores. It's time to do this or that. But we all are faced with a schedule. It's time. And women sometimes like to say it's time as well. But a lot of times, wives have been nagging their husbands to do this thing or that thing or the other thing. And when they finally do it, they say it's about time. But it's time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. The key word in this passage is time. It is used 30 times in these verses, in verses 1 through 8. And so that gives us a clue as to the importance of time in our lives. And yet, God's time is a secret, a mystery to us. And there's a lot of debate in the world over God's role after natural disasters or personal tragedy. A lot of people would ask the question, was God responsible for that? Was he the one who caused this to happen? What kind of God is he anyway? And so we have a problem in dealing with these issues. In the Chabad.org website, which is concerning Jewish beliefs, a quotation. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is this world so unfair? Please don't tell me we can't understand God's ways. I am sick of hearing that. I want an explanation. And so a lot of people deal with that. A lot of people are turned away from God because they want to blame him, and yet it is God's time. It's his time. And so I wanted to use a little story or illustration, life under the loom, and go back 150 years. Imagine two little mice who lived in a weaver shop back 150 years ago. All day long, the steady hum of the loom fills their life. Overhead, the shuttle passes back and forth as colors appear and disappear. Every so often, the loom stops and scissors appear and cut a thread and tie it off. A new spool is loaded on and a new set of colors starts. What did he do that for? Asked one of the mice. Black is all wrong. Why did he stop that beautiful burgundy? Then off the noise will go again with different colors mingling in on the loom. Black and reds, gold and purples, grays and creams, greens and then it all stops. Thread is cut again, and more threads are started in. Pinks and oranges and sunset tints with yellow and burnt umber. Then stop and snip, and off it goes again. And the conversation of those two little mice might go like this. That sounds like a downright mess, says one mouse. Well, the weaver knows what he is doing. What weaver? I don't believe in a weaver. Sure, that machine goes on and on like it always has, right from the day you were born. It just keeps cramping along. No one hath outlasted the loom. It will still be going on the day you die. But I don't believe in a weaver. Sure, there's a weaver. What about all the changes? What about the rhythm of the loom? What about the design of the carpet? There can't be a weaver. The whole thing is a shambles. look at the straggly ends of tails everywhere, colors mixing and flashing. Ah, but it will look great from the other side, says the other. There's a time for gold and a time for black, a time for red and a time for browns, a time to cut and a time to tie, a time to tighten and a time to slacken. That's the weaver at work. You may not be able to see him, but each thread is planned and designed by him to create a masterpiece. You have to remember that we live under the loom, and we can't see the whole thing. And even if we could see it, we're so small that we couldn't see it all at once. So we're like those two little mice living under the loom. We're, in our lives, observers of God working in his universe. Sometimes events, situations, and circumstances that come into our lives seem to be a chaotic mess. Like right now in our world, in this coronavirus pandemic, and it has upset all of our lives. And as a lot of people observe their situation, their circumstances, the things that are happening, many believe that either God doesn't exist, or he's not a very good God, or that he's impotent and incompetent and helpless to control nature and history. But Solomon is making an argument for us here. Solomon would say to those two little mice, there is a weaver. His plan incorporates all that happens. He is both good, infinitely wise, and all-powerful. That's the God we believe in, the God of love, the God of mercy, and yes, the God who guides and controls all the affairs of this universe. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 and 26 says, to whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. And those verses from Isaiah, along with many others in the Bible, describe God and reveal to us who God is and what he does. God's control of time is sovereign. Verse 1 says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. The Hebrew word here translated appointed time simply means appointed time or just time. And so Solomon builds his argument here in these verses upon the word appointed. There is an appointed time for everything. And he is certainly saying that it's God who appoints the time. The events of our lives do not randomly happen by chance. Because God has a purpose in each of our lives. He's placed us, he's created us, placed us here on this earth for a purpose. And so one of the strange things to me, at least, is that anytime you have a great tragedy, a great difficulty that happens in the lives of a family or an individual, or even a nation or a world, it's interesting that during those times, God becomes much more important to them. And they turn to him, they look to him, they pray to him, they give him credit. But a quote from the Public Religion Research Institute, Robert P. Jones, CEO, says, it's interesting that most Americans believe in a personal God and that God is in control of everything that happens in the world, but then resist drawing a straight line from those beliefs through God's direct role or judgment in natural disaster. In other words, we like to give lip service to God, but we don't want to say that he is in direct control of the affairs and the events of each individual, of each family, of each nation, of each world. And so today I think I pray that God will, through Solomon's words, teach us that God is sovereign, that he is in control. And so verses 1 through 8, life as Solomon looked at it. Life appears chaotic, random, and repetitive. We just don't know what to think. There's no particular reason. Illness, death, disaster. There is a pattern, and that pattern is overseen by God. And Solomon tells us there is a time for everything. There is an appointed time, he said, and there is nothing that escapes the control of God. No accidents or chance happening in God's universe. And if we didn't believe that, we could not believe the Bible. We could not believe all of the prophecies that God has given us in the Bible. And I think of one in 1 Peter chapter 1 where it says that Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so God has a plan, and the affairs, the things that are happening are not random, but they are God working out his plan and purpose. So God's control of time is sovereign. And some of you may have read the Family Circus comic strip, the one on December the 30th, 2008. In the comic strip, Dolly is a little girl, and Dolly is sitting at the table drawing. And Dolly's grandmother comes into the room, and she sees that Dolly is practicing her artwork, her drawing. And grandmother asks, "What are you drawing?" And Dolly replies, "I don't know. I'll decide after I'm finished." Well, that's the way a lot of people are. They are not concerned about what their life is going to turn out to be. They'll decide when the time comes. William Ernest Henley's famous poem Invictus says, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." And that's the attitude, the philosophy of so many people, most of the people in the world, that I am the captain of my soul. I'm the master of my fate. And like Dolly, we'll decide when the time comes, when we get good and ready. But Solomon lets us know that God's time has seasons. And as he pointed out, particularly in verses 1 through 8, there are good times and there are bad times. And I recall back quite a few years ago now, Barbara had a sewing class at the church. And toward the end of the day, I went up to the church and I asked the girls, I think there was a boy or two in the class as well, but I asked him how the day went. And Shauna Hartman replied that she spent the day carrying out. And I told her that that was biblical. And then I read them from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sow. And I must confess that I don't sow. But I have done some tearing out, but I have been around a lot of people who do so, and I have discovered that they spend a lot of time tearing out. But thank God there's also the time to sow. And we have a lot of the evidence of that at our house. And so verses 1 through 8, Solomon gives us the seasons. And you'll notice that the seasons that he mentions are opposite. They're seasonal. You have spring, summer, fall, winter, follow one right after the other. So it is with the seasons of life. Verse 1b, a time for every event under heaven. God has a purpose in the seasons of life. God has lessons that he wants to teach us. And God would be saying to us, you're in a certain season of your life. I'm going to use this season to teach you and mold you. Then we'll move on to another season of your life. And right now, we're in the coronavirus pandemic season. And I suppose we're all learning a lot of lessons. And pray that God will make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the reason it's so important for me to know that the seasons of my life are according to God's time, God's appointment, so we can begin to learn how to live in the ebb and flow of God's timing in my life. Now, one thing we'll discover about God's time is that God's time is surprising. And truth is that we're not always ready for God's time. We'd like to put things off. We'd like to wait a while before they come. But God's time is God's time because he is sovereign and he has made the appointment. Verses 2 through 8 shows the wide variety of seasons that God can send into our lives. We have a very creative God. And he can bring things into our life for a purpose. And they are appointed to develop us, to mold us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a lot of times, just about the time I think I've got God figured out, he messes me up. He takes me into another season and he surprises me with another of his various ways of getting my attention and working in my life. So expect change. The evidence is all around us. We go from spring to summer. Summer becomes fall. Fall becomes winter. Winter becomes spring. The seasons of life are the same. We never know what God has planned for us just around the next corner. And so some of you may have heard this story before, but it's a story that was told by Chuck Swindoll about Chippy the Parakeet. Chippy the Parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage singing. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. His problem began when his owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She stuck the nozzle into the cage to suck up the seeds and feathers at the bottom of the cage. Then the phone rang, and she instinctively turned to pick it up. She had barely said, hello, when swish, Chippy got sucked in. She gasped, let the phone drop, and snapped off the vacuum. With her heart in her mouth, she unzipped the bag. There was Chippy alive, but stunned and covered with heavy black dust. She grabbed him and rushed to the tub in the bathroom, turned on the faucet full blast, and held Chippy under a torrent of ice-cold water, power washing him clean. Then she did what any compassionate pet owner would do. She snatched up the hairdryer and blasted the wet, shivering little bird with hot air. Chuck Swindoll closed his story with these words. Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. Maybe you feel like Chippy sometimes. God has thrown some surprises your way and you're feeling a little stuck. But you still need to be ready for God's next surprise in your life. God's time is always right. Point number two, this won't be as long. It's our time. It's our time to experience the big picture. Verse 9, Solomon said, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? Solomon is talking about the ups and downs of life mentioned in verses 1 through 8. He asks this question, and then he answers it. Verse 11, there's a big picture in each. Each piece fits. I've got the Thomases in my way of my slide here, so I had to get them out of the way so I could read it. There's a big picture, and each piece fits in its proper place. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Solomon is not saying that everything is beautiful in itself, but in its time. Bad things happen to Christian and non-Christian alike. What Solomon is saying is there is a big picture. God is creating something beautiful, just like the rug on the loom. The underside looks like a mess, but on the top, there's that beautiful pattern that gradually develops. And that is what Solomon is trying to teach us and tell us, that God working in our lives is wanting to produce and create something that is beautiful. Sometimes we see glimpses of God's grand design in our lives, and sometimes we're left completely in the dark. But that everything beautiful is God's work in us to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. We know there is a big picture because verse 11 says he has put eternity in their hearts. We have two dogs at our house. One is a rat terrier named Chihuahua, and the other is a Chihuahua named Mei Mei. Chihuahua means little flower. Mei Mei means little sister. And Chihuahua and Mei Mei aren't sitting around wondering why things happen to them or why they are here or what their purpose is in life. Whatever human being is created in the image of God, and I believe in our hearts we know instinctively that there is more to life than this, all that we can see around us. There's a big picture because God has set eternity in our hearts. And each of us should be living for eternity and seeking to know the God who created us. The great mistake our world has made and is making is that we want to think that we're in control of our life. And this probably is best exemplified by the Frank Sinatra popular song, My Way. My time done my way. And it's a long song. I won't read all of it, but the last stanza says, oh no, not me. I did it my way. Well, what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels are not the words of one who kneels. In other words, don't need to pray. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. We can't understand all of the big picture. Verse 11, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We don't have all the answers. A lot of life is a mystery to us. Life is often puzzling to us. But God wants us to set out on a search for the answers. And God's great goal is to produce in us the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. To produce in us the man, the woman, the person he wants us to be, that he has appointed us to be. And God is the one who has the answers. And as we come to God, as we trust in God, as we believe in God, we read his word, we pray, we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he will guide and direct us to be that person, to do the things that will please and glorify him. The purpose of life for us is to enjoy life. Verses 12 and 13. Solomon said, I know that nothing is better of them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Then verse 1b, a time for every purpose, every event under heaven. And so God has created us to be in this world. Our days are appointed by him, and he wants us to enjoy life. He says, enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And even in the difficult times, when we have our faith in him, knowing that he is love, that he has loved us by giving his son to die on the cross for us, that through him we have eternal life. That is the gift he has given to us. And so, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, we are living for eternity. And we need to remember that. The meaning of the Hebrew word here, a time for every purpose, matter, event, activity under heaven. And so that is what God wants us to do. Every event is there for me to enjoy. Not just the good times, also the bad. The only way we can do that is to put our complete trust in God, knowing that his time and his timing is always right. Seasons change. But there is one who never changes. Scripture says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we, each of us, go through the different seasons of our life, facing different problems, different tragedies, different difficulties, we know that he is our God, and he never changes. And our time is to exhibit fear of God. Verse 14 says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it, that men should fear him. And so God has created you and me to live on this earth for him, to learn to fear him. And I've always loved the Chinese translation of that word fear. It's Jing Wei. Jing means to respect. Wei means to fear. So the fear of God means we have a respectful fear of him. We know who he is. We know he is sovereign. We know he is in control. And so if fear of God should produce humility in our lives, and it should produce trust in him. So humility, the whole point of the ups and downs of life is to bring us to the point where we see that we aren't as wonderful as we thought we were. When events overwhelm us, we instinctively cry out to God. The whole purpose of the events of life is to bring men and women into a right relationship with God. And then trust. God is working in our lives to produce us a trust in Him. The Christian is like one of those mice under the half-finished rug on the loom. We can see why some of the colors are there, but we can't see the full design yet. It's only in heaven that we will get to see the full design and to understand fully why there are all the colors and shades that make up our life. Yet, while we are here, we need to remember that there is a weaver, a creator, a God behind all of this. And because of Jesus, He cares for us with an infinite love. And so I close today with a quotation from Psalm 37:3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And most of you probably remember that that word commit literally means to roll off onto. And so we have all our problems, our burdens, our difficulties, and we just roll them off onto the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Then lastly, Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. And the Hebrew word there for times is the same word that Solomon used in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Thank God we have a great, loving, sovereign, infinite, all-powerful God who takes care of us. Even as He takes care of the birds of the field, He takes care of each and every one of us. Let's trust Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word from Solomon. I pray that You'd use these words to encourage us, to strengthen us, to draw us closer to You, and use the seasons of our life, the things that You bring, the situations, the circumstances, to develop and mold us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. And I think it was kind of cool how he wound up there using our memory verse kind of to finish that off. I think it's a good reminder of how we're just in a very particular time right now, and we need to take encouragement from that. I want to give all of you an opportunity to just kind of share how you're doing since we don't get to see you in person. And I want to begin by asking Steve if he would just share with us and tell us again, Steve, since some of them didn't hear you the first time, how you're doing there in the hospital. Steve, we lost your picture. There you go. Start talking, Steve. I think they wouldn't hear you now. Yeah, he may be busy. He keeps muting his microphone after I've unmuted him. He may be dealing with medical personnel or something, so we'll try again here in a minute. Uncle Gerald, Aunt Bobby, how are y'all doing? Are you doing well?
We are blessed to be doing very well. Thank you.
That's great. All right. Belinda, you want to give us a quick update? Maybe you can give us the news, because I think Steve may be on mute because he's working with the doctor or something. He's got his camera off, too.
Yeah. Having connection problems.
Now, talk a little louder, Belinda.
Well, I think Steven is having some connection problems also, because it's hard to sometimes even talk on the phone.
Okay. What's the news on his kidney again? Because I couldn't repeat it.
Okay. Well, just that they're calling it what they see around his kidney a hematoma or abrasion, and they're gonna. And he asked the doctor this morning if it was serious, and the doctor said not really, but they still need to take care of it. So they won't be able to do anything till Monday or Tuesday, because they don't do procedures like that on the weekend, unfortunately. So he's feeling much better because fever is gone. He even said earlier that he almost felt like he could go work in the yard, the backyard, if he was home, because he
That's
was like, not having fever alone was making him feel much better. But he's probably losing more weight, though, because he doesn't do well with hospital food. he's making himself eat it, but it's been hard. whatever they've been giving him with the antibiotics, it's helped with the infection and his fever, because it did get as high as 103.7 at one point. So anyway, that's it.
Okay, good. I appreciate that.
He's in there indefinitely right now.
that's probably the worst part of it sometimes. It's just the isolation, since your own family can't be up there with you. That's frustrating. All right.
Yeah, I don't do well as a single person.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I'm happy my bachelor's days are behind me. All right. And I'm glad to get to see y'all. I don't know what's wrong with my webcam today, but you can count that as an extra blessing. You didn't have to look at me. All right.
I have to keep my phone right now. I don't know if y'all can hear them through my phone or not. I put them on. Should we try it or not?
You mean talking to Steve, or are you going to try to
talk over it through my phone?
Well, sure. We can give that a try because I think I don't see him on the conference anymore. I think he dropped off.
Okay. Do you want to try talking?
I guess. I don't know if they can hear me.
Yeah, I wouldn't hear you.
Okay. So like I said earlier, I'm just waiting to have a procedure done where they're going to try to pull the fluid off the kidney, and they don't know whether it's a hematoma, which would be basically blood, or if it's some other type of fluid. But I'm feeling fine, and much, much better the last 3 days anyway, without fever. And it's no fun spending a week in the hospital. But I was glad to be here the first day, that's for sure. I really felt pretty bad. And I've been on my antibiotic IV drip basically the whole time. So I'm hoping to be out maybe Monday or Tuesday at the earliest.
All right. Well, that's great. We're looking forward to seeing you be able to be that calm. I'm glad you finally got help. It was quite an ordeal just getting you there. And it's just not easy when Steve has to go in. They look like he's going to have to wait 8 or 9 hours just to see somebody. So, hospital's not where you want to be right now. So I'm glad that he's there and on a safe floor. All right. And I wonder if anybody else has something you want to share with us. How's your family doing? So I guess John and Ashley, how's the new baby doing? You guys doing okay over there?
Hey, yeah, we're good. Some of the other kids had some stuff going on, so I was balancing act, but Ashley's healthy, baby's doing well, and Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Okay, great. Well, enjoy the party. All right. Anybody else want to share? Ronnie or Schultz's, Jim, anybody? Just, you can unmute your mic and tell us how you're doing, or tell us any way we can pray for you.
Okay, Robert, I have something, a prayer request that Rebecca has said. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Supposedly in July, but it's been postponed now because of all the virus, she has an opportunity to go to Japan for a 6-week study to learn how to use her artwork to preach the gospel. And what they will learn is how to incorporate the gospel into their artwork. And the professor who will be speaking has already used her artwork to do the whole Old Testament. And it will be in, Rebecca's will be in comic form so that they can reach people who would not normally want to go to a Bible class or open the Bible or anything, but they can reach it through the comic form. And so she is hoping to be able to go to that, but she needs to raise funds for it. And I have some materials I will be sending to Teresa and let her send out so you can better understand what it is she is planning to do. And she'll need about $3,000 total in order to do this for 6 weeks. And that will cover her food and board and everything for the 6 weeks. So you'll be hearing more about it through Teresa.
Okay, that's good. And we can set up a fund for that on the electronic giving site. And if people want to give to that, they can just give through there, and then we'll ensure that the funds get to Rebecca. Okay, thank you for that. All right, somebody else have a prayer request you'd like to share? Or praise. Bronze family says they're doing fine, but with the kids, they said they had a lot of background noise today, which we understand. Anybody else? Well, if not, I'm gonna leave you with a report. Again, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you. We will send out more detailed updates about reopening the church on May 17th. And as I said, I've already bought hand sanitizer dispensers, and I'm in the process of trying to get enough hand sanitizer to fill the dispensers. And I think Dallas County may still have a face mask restriction in place by that time, in which case everybody can come in wearing their mask just to keep everybody else safe. You got to remember the coronavirus can spread asymptomatically. I do want to show you one thing here real quickly, so let me share my screen with you. If you go to the church webpage, I just want you to notice that the coronavirus information you click on top, I'm going to get rid of this redundant news thing since there's already a calendar down here, and I'm going to move the information about FBI courses under the resources. So you'll only see one news item, but if you click over here, it will just take you, just so click on news. That has all of the current announcements. So there's everything. Most important announcements are at top. So there's the coronavirus, the information that I added from the recommendations from Dr. Pescatore about what to be taking on a regular basis and how to stay healthy. The information about how to log into the webcast. I did find out, that the reason some of you are not getting an email each week to remind you of the broadcast is because you haven't registered on WebEx. So I'm going to change next week's meeting so that if you haven't registered, it'll require you to register. Basically, you're just going to enter your name and your email address. Once you do that, it will automatically send you that notification each week that the meeting is about to start, so people will get a reminder email. If you've never registered, you're not getting a reminder email. Anyway, that's the reason for why some of you haven't been getting that email. The link stays the same from week to week, and if you ever forget, you can just go to the church webpage click on the news up there at the upper left, and if you scroll down, there is a link right here where it says participate in sermon webinar, and you just click that link and it'll instantly take you to the page. And let me see if I can blow that up, make it a little bigger so you're not squinting. It'll instantly take you to the WebEx site and to this thing. So if you ever forget how to get there, just go to FirstBaptistLosCalinas.com, go to the news page, and you'll be able to go straight to it. There's the information there about the how to give by text messaging, and there's the number that you would text your donation to, and you just enter that amount, and you can do the whole thing through text giving. There's information about the My Church app. Interestingly enough, since I have that app on my phone, when I updated this announcements page just a moment ago, it did push a notification to my phone that there were new announcements, and I was able to click on it and go straight to it. So the push notifications work quite well. So I encourage you to load that My Church app, and you can use it both on Apple phones and on Android phones as well. There's the information about how to get the app. So if you don't remember where to get the app, again, go to our website, go to news on the website, and that scroll down, you'll find that information. And then, anyway, I will keep the announcements up there where you can get to them. And eventually I plan on putting all the prayer requests out there too, but putting it on a password-protected page so that it'll be private between us, you know, church family. And so I'll send out information about that at a later date. But I just want you to remember you can always go out here for the news. So with that, we'll close with just a song that I'll share with you. And please email me or Teresa if you have special messages that you'd like to share with us, and or, you know, in terms of how you're doing or challenges your family's facing, things that we can pray about. I want to make sure that we pray for you. All right, and I've copied those things off the screen there, so let me close by just sharing a little music just to remind us that what all of this is really about during this time, and what we really should be focused on, not so much the news or anything else, but just the fact that we're really here to glorify God. I love all of you, and thank you for being here. It's a blessing for me to see you, even if it's just in cyberspace, but I look forward to seeing you personally in the near future. May God richly bless you. And now here comes your music for the close.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus.